have a huge, huge honor this morning. One of the godliest men I know, and that's not exaggerating, one of the best men I know. He has actually been a part of New Life Church for his entire 34-year history. He was the founding overseeing elder, kind of the guy who helped the church get started in 1985. He was the pastor of Bethany World Prayer Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana for 28 years. He started the Surge Network, which has planted 25,000 churches around the country. He's an overseer for us. He's my friend. He's a trusted advisor to me. He is someone that calls me all the time to encourage your pastor, encourage me, to help me, pray over me, help me walk through the darkest days of this church. He was right there beside me. One of the photos I have in my office is Larry Stockstill walking beside me through the parking lot on the darkest day in our church's history. This is a man of God. And I want you to remain standing, and I want you to give a robust New Life welcome to my friend, Pastor Larry Stockstill. Come on up here, Pastor.
All right, remain standing. Let's give Jesus all the hand clap. Come on, everybody, he's wonderful. Come on, I said, let's really give Jesus some praise, everybody. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a great, great honor it is to be with you guys. And we welcome our online audience, everybody that's watching. Actually, I'm here this weekend, and I'm leaving tomorrow morning from Denver to go to Albania, which is east of Italy, if you don't know that, and be there all week speaking to pastors and a national pastors conference and different things, and just really excited. What I'm really excited about is it's not snowing up here in Colorado Springs today, because actually, I mean, I'm from Baton Rouge, and, you know, we're out playing golf and doing all this stuff, and I say, hey, man, it snowed in Colorado. It's amazing. But this is my favorite state of the Union. I think it's the most gorgeous state in America. Come on now, say amen. So, wonderful opportunity, thrilled to be here with you guys. Love you very much. I've loved this church for many, many years. When I passed it last night, something in my heart really moved for you. I believe God brought you here for a specific reason. Hi, guys. How y'all doing around there? Good to have you, too. I really believe God brought you here for a specific reason, because this is a new message. I've never preached it before, but God spoke it to me this week about how to stay in the will of God. And I have a blog that I put out every week, LarryStockstill.com. This is my topic, actually, for tomorrow's blog. And I love blogging. I love writing. I don't make any money on it. I don't do anything. I just enjoy feeding the body of Christ. But I thought about how badly people want to stay in the perfect will of God. How many of you would love to know you're in the perfect will of God? Come on, raise up your hand. Okay, awesome. And we make it so hard. I mean, we make it like there's this little winding path, you know, John Bunyan's book, and we're making this, oh, that little path, oh, wait, I got a little bit over here, and maybe I'm off the perfect will of God, I married the wrong person, I got the wrong job, I bought the wrong home, and we have all these, you know, little nuances that we consider to be the perfect will of God. And God spoke to me. He said, you're concentrating on the wrong thing. He said, I will speak my will to you. If you seek the Lord, he's going to communicate to you. He told me who to marry. He told me I was called into the ministry. And that, by the way, I was 16 when I preached my first message. This month, I'm 66. So this month, I'm celebrating 50 years of preaching the gospel. Isn't that awesome? Come on. Yeah. Somebody's getting old. I don't know who it is. I think it's me. And I've been married 43 years. I have 6 children, all married, all serving God, 13 grandchildren. In fact, I brought a picture of them. Would you like to see my family? That's my tribe right there. Oh, you can give them a hand clap. They're beautiful. So, you know, and I've been coming to New Life since it started in 1985. So I love Lance Coles, love, you know, all of the different leadership here. I know you. But I just want to talk to you about your life, okay? What is your, are you in the will of God? Are you in the perfect will of God? And it's not just about hearing the Lord's voice speak to you. I want you to do this, and he'll do that through dreams, visions, inward voice, inward witness, prophecy, various ways. I'm not preaching on that today. God will communicate his perfect path for you. Our part is the environment part. And that's what God spoke to me about for you. We need to worry a lot more about whether my life is in the will of God rather than my steps are in the will of God. Sure, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That's true. But I have to follow that. If you look at Israel when they came out of Egypt, man, they had no problem knowing what was the will of God. They had a cloud there and a fire guiding them perfectly. But they didn't make it across the desert because they didn't watch the environment of the will of God. Now, I'm going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 throughout this message, and it's going to be some simple little verses that are like checkpoints, and I want you to write them down. Take your iPhone out. There's six of them, and this is going to tell you if you're in the environment of the will of God, or I'm calling it the protocol and not the path of the will of God. You know, airplanes are, I fly 100 times a year, you know, I do a lot of travel, like this week. And I've learned that they have a path, a flight path, and actually it's called the flight plan. The pilot, you know, turns that in, and it's supposed to be perfect. Like last night, I flew from Houston to here. It's supposed to be perfect. Well, we had thunderstorms in Dallas, and also he had to vector around. And not only that, but when you go through a thunderstorm, you get turbulence and you get blown off course. Well, what does the pilot do? He doesn't go back to Houston. Oh, I'm off course. Oh, I missed the perfect plan. He draws a new line from where he finds himself to the center of the map, which is Colorado Springs. Google Maps is the same way. If you miss a wrong turn in Albuquerque, as you've heard, you know, I use Google Maps, and often I get off path. The AI automatically, the algorithm adjusts my route. I don't go back home and start over. The Lord adjusts my route and gets me to where I'm going. Now, you may be outside of the will of God, even though you know the plan of God. And you're the one God brought here today. He's going to help you merge those two, that path and that protocol, back together. In the first service, I told about a flight I took in Kenya in a single-engine plane. And this little prop plane, my missionary friend Don Matheny was flying it. We were 5,000 feet over the Indian Ocean, left Pate Island, of all Muslim island. We'd been preaching that day. And my wife and her and his wife were in the back seat of this little four-seater Cessna. And he said, "Would you like to fly, Larry?" My wife's in the back. She says, "No, he would not." I said, "I would love that. Haven't you ever wanted to grab, you know, feel what it felt like?" So there's a steering wheel over on my side. He said, "All you got to do, just, there's a meter there right in front of you." And I looked, there it was, and it was just a little round meter. It's called the attitude meter. And there's a line in the middle of it. Above it is blue, below it is brown, and there's a set of wings. And when you pull back on the steering wheel, the wings go up. The nose of the plane is going up above the line. That's the horizon. And that's a good thing. When you're flying, it's always good to know you're going up. Can I have an amen? That's why it's blue. It's sky. But the bottom below there is brown. When it's brown, you're down. That's not a good thing. All you got to do to fly a plane, just keep your attitude meter up. And so the moment I took over, it was exhilarating. As soon as my hands touched the wheel, everybody, the engine died. I'm talking about complete, shut off, quiet. The only verse we heard, or the only sound we heard besides the wind blowing, was Melanie screaming, "Jesus!" And we dropped 500 feet in silence. And my friend is pulling knobs and doing it. And then finally he moved the lever and the engine came on again. He forgot to turn the gas from the left wing to the right wing. And it ran out the moment my hands touched the wheel. I have never flown a plane again. Ever. I sit in the back. I'm glad. But attitude. The Lord spoke to me for you today. He gave me this word. Check your attitude in six areas. Now, these would be good to write down. You say, "Well, I don't need to write that down. I'm going to eat out after the meal." This is good stuff for you. I'm teaching you. I'm training you. Because you can hear the will of God, but you got to stay in the will of God long term. Okay, let me give you these quickly. And I'm just going to touch on them. But the first one is in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Now, I know you probably don't have a Bible. You can look on your phone or you can look up at the screen. This is number one. He says, honor those. Everybody say honor. Honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. So this is a protocol for leaders. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Now you might say, what's that got to do with the will of God? You're going to see in a minute. All six of these are going to come together in the last verse. But he's talking about the will of God. Leadership is very critical in you knowing the will of God, because as a pastor, I pastored 28 years. People came to me about who they should marry. They came to me about choices, decisions, sin in their life, all kinds of things. And depending upon how much they honored the office that I was sitting in is how much they received in terms of guidance. You need a pastor. I believe that. And I know people hop around and they watch online and they do all that. And that's all wonderful. Thank God for all those capabilities. But when you go through a storm, somebody needs to be there beside you that's able to walk you through that maybe terrible, horrific time in your life. So it says, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. And I'd like to do that today. I don't believe the leaders are perfect. I know they're not perfect. Moses was not perfect. He didn't make it to the promised land. He lost his temper and whacked the rock a couple of times instead of speaking to it. And God said, okay, have a seat on the bench. You're not going in either. So God's going to deal with leaders, but you need to honor them, which just simply means look past the person to the position that they hold. You know what I'd love to do right now? I'd like to stop. And I'd like to show honor to everybody that is in the full-time ministry. We have a number of pastors. I don't know how many are in the service, because we have Pastor Brady and Pastor Pam and different ones that are here. But would everybody that's a pastor stand up right now? And while they stand, could we show them some honor, everybody? Come on. Let's really show them. Hey, we respect you, Brady. We respect you, Pam. We respect you, Daniel. We respect you. Come on, let's really give them a hand. We respect you, Brian. That's right. Come on, New Life. We respect you, Mel. These are, you know, and we're not celebrating them just, you know, they're perfect people. All you got to do is meet their wife to know they're not perfect. But you remember what I'm saying to you. I came a long way to give you this information. The degree to which you honor your leaders is the degree that God will honor you. Number two, now I'm just reading scriptures one at a time. Secondly, he says, encourage the brethren. He says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak. And we got some folks like that in churches. And be patient. Patient. With everyone. And this is referring directly to brothers and sisters. That's the people sitting next to you. This is New Life. This is you. You're New Lifers. You're Jesus followers. You're Jesus disciples. But these are the people you sit by week in, week out. You go to small groups with them. You do serve outreaches with them. You give to the same projects. See, this is your family. This is your team. You wear the same jersey. You're a tribe. You believe the same things. You're partners. Well, Paul just said, now look, to be in the perfect will of God long term, you need some other relationships in the body of Christ. You need to encourage some people that are weak, that are tired, even a few that are lazy. You need to say, hey, man, you need to get with it. Every now and then you need somebody to tell you to giddy up. Isn't that right? You need to get after it now. You sloughing, dude. Well, you can hear that from a small group leader or a small group member, because we're a family. It's like a basketball team that say, hey, man, get out there and get some rebounds. Well, that's important. If you're going to stay long-term in the will of God, you have to find your tribe. You have to find that group that you encourage, and they may be part of the broke, busted, and disgusted group. I we got a lot of those in the church. People come with their lives shattered, and they have to be rebuilt. So I remain in my path if I encourage the body of Christ? Here's number three, and I'm touching on them. In verse 15, he continues. And the first three, by the way, are about your outward relationships, your leaders, your friends in the body of Christ. But then he talks about your enemies. He says, see that no one pays back evil for evil. No payback, no revenge. But always try to do good to each other and to all people. That's the creeps that may live on your street or you work with or your coworkers or your in-laws or your outlaws or whoever they may be. It's people that don't know the Lord particularly. And the Bible's teaching us here, if you want to remain in the will of God long term, you want to stay on the flight path, you're going to have to forgive people. I mean, I fly on airplanes everywhere. You can't find a better place to test your sanctification than an airplane right now. People are fighting over the overhead bin. I'm telling you, they come to blows. It's serious in America. There's so much anger, so much animosity, so much division. You know, I had a Muslim man move in right next door to me, the only Muslim in the little town I live in Baker, right outside of Baton Rouge. And he did have two wives. He's from Yemen. He had, you know, kids by both of them. They move in right next. They built a big 6-foot fence and put rubber tires around it, and the police were concerned. He was from Yemen. We tried to reach out to them, but they had a gate. Nobody ever came out. He drove out with a kind of a scowl on his face. He had this attitude. 3 years, no one ever was able to reach out to them. Then we flooded. Our street flooded about 3 years ago. His home flooded. I was out of town, but my boys rescued him and his two wives and all of his kids in my little boat called Green Bean. It's a little sort of a fishing boat. They rescued them and got them to dry land. Well, we didn't see them for a month. But then his wife came out one day and said, please, please come. Well, we went in there, you know, kind of looking around. He wasn't there. And his grass was about this high. I think they lost 2 or 3 kids. The grass was so high back there. And his lawnmower had broken in the flood. It flooded. And then she said, can you come inside? Her hot water heater was broken. And her air conditioner was broken. And he was gone somewhere getting work or something. So I called a friend. We fixed her lawnmower, got it going. Then we fixed her hot water heater. We fixed her air conditioner. 3 different guys. Took me several hours. Well, we were just thrilled to be able to reach out to them, show them the love of Jesus. Well, 2 weeks go by. My phone rings. It's the little girl, the daughter, speaks English, says, my father wants to speak to you. He gets on the phone, Mike, and he said, I didn't know if he was going to be angry that I had come into his compound. I didn't know. He said, you helped me in the flood. And I just stayed quiet. He said, you fixed my hot water heater and my air conditioner and my lawnmower. He said, I owe you money. I want to pay you for what you did. I said, oh, no, Mike. We love you. We want to tell you how much we love you. We'll do anything to help you. Please call on us. Now, can I tell you, everything changed. The gates came open. They started coming out on the street. Come on, somebody, are you listening to me? And now, I mean, it completely changed. I hate to report this, but after about a year of us ministering to them and all, he was killed as a teller in a convenience store. We've had to help with the wives, the kids. Let me tell you something. This is how you stay in the will of God. You're going to find some neighbor that is like they're calling in life to cause you problems. But if you want to stay in the will of God, you're going to have to forgive people. And maybe somebody popped in your brain right then and you're thinking, you know, I can't move past the will of God until I forgive that individual. How about number 4? Always be joyful. That's just the shortest verse in the whole Bible in Greek. The shortest English verse, Jesus wept, but the shortest Greek verse is that. Always be joyful. Always be joyful. Now, I love this one because we're losing our joy in the United States. Even church members are losing their joy. Now, I understood right before this service, there's a very high suicide rate in the schools and all in this district, and they're having to be very proactive about trying to help young people because of the hopelessness, depression, anxiety, and loneliness. That is not unique here. That's worldwide. We've never been so wealthy. Our standard of living is higher than Louis the 14th of France. We have so many social connections, we think, and yet we've never been so lonely or dissatisfied or depressed or dealt with anxiety. For the last 40 years, every year, the amount of medications for depression has increased. It's just gone through the roof, and they can't figure it out. You have everything you want, but you can't be happy. I'm telling you, joy is not happiness. Happiness is when you have all of everything you want, but joy is the inward part of you when Jesus Christ lives in you. Can you say amen to that? But he says, always be joyful. Surely there's a time where my grocery bag bottom falls out and all my eggs break, then I'm not going to be joyful. I get that. We're human. We're people. But joy is not an emotion. Joy is a perspective. It's a perspective. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, perspective changes everything in life. I want you to do this with me. Close one eye and leave one eye open, okay? This is a little exercise. Take your pointer finger and put it right in front of the open eye, just kind of like I'm doing, okay? You'll remember this. And what can you see? Basically nothing but that finger. Now start moving it away like an inch at a time till it gets maybe a foot or a foot and a half. The further it moves out into perspective, the more you can see. I see all of your faces now. That's your problem. You have a little problem come up at work or in your yard or a neighbor or a friend and boom, you do this. It's all you can see. It's all you talk about, you write about, you social media. It's this right here. But that's a loss of perspective. Because even 10 years from now, you won't even remember the utility bill that you had a hard time paying. You're not even going to remember it. Or that Brunhilde Huckelmeister wrote a comment on your post on Facebook. Really? You know, one lady was all upset because her family didn't invite her to the Halloween party 4 years ago. Really? Put that in perspective. I mean, you know, I have a good little phrase for you. If you're having a perspective problem, go down to Lowe's, buy you a ladder, and get over it. Right? Joy is perspective. Joy is a person as well. It's the Holy Spirit. Because up here in our brains, you know, we try to figure everything out. But when the Spirit of God comes in you, there is a joy. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 10. He rejoiced in the Spirit. You don't find a lot of joy up here. Read the news, watch the news. All you do is get more and more depressed. But if down in here you let the Holy Spirit rejoice, well, he'll sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then thirdly, joy is an attitude. It's a perspective, it's a person, and it's an attitude. It means that you're just going to have joy. You have decided that you're going to have joy. When Paul was in the Philippian jail, and I've been to Philippi in northern Greece, I wish all of you could go sometime and see Philippi. And then I saw the jail Paul was in at midnight in stocks and his back bleeding. And at midnight, he looks over at Silas and says, Silas, have you got a song in your spirit? And they start singing and praising and rejoicing. And God sent an earthquake and shook the building and the doors flew open. You remember the story? And the jailer got saved. All of that happened because they rejoiced evermore. They always rejoice. I don't know what tough thing you're walking through right now. Hear me carefully. This is for someone battling a depression, a discouragement, a sadness, a sorrow, and you can't break out of it. Just break out of it. Just get alone, lift your hands, begin to clap your hands, begin to get somebody alone where nobody thinks you're crazy or whatever, but just start rejoicing. I did that in the hotel this morning. I do that every morning. I rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't matter what I'm walking through, because that's how you maintain long term. Here's number five. Write this fifth little phrase down. Never stop praying. Wow. Stay in the will of God. Never stop praying. Now you say, well, how am I going to get my kids ready for school if I'm sitting there praying? I understand that. I love a prayer time. My prayer time this morning, God woke me up real early. I had my prayer time. I have a prayer track I like to pray. I pray the tabernacle prayer some days. Pray the Lord's Prayer some days. I pray the Jabez Prayer some days. I love a prayer time and a prayer track. That's another teaching. But what I'm saying is you can pray all the time, everybody, in here. Not out loud. But you know, you understand what it means to be connected from the internet. You don't see the internet. We didn't even know what it was until Al Gore invented it, did we? We didn't even know. But it's here. How do you know? Because my watch is online. I can see what time it is. I can see it's 47 outside. That must be wrong for sure. I can see. I'm wired. There's data. There's billions of gigabytes of data at my disposal at all times. I'm connected to a server. Where is it? I don't know. Somewhere. But my phone's connected. This iPad's connected. I'm wired. I don't like to go anywhere anymore that I'm not online. Think of prayer not as a time, but as a online with heaven. The Bible says you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. So rise up above the fog and smog of the world and CNN and Fox and all the news agencies, all their latest. I turned it off. I figured if something bad enough happens in America, somebody's going to tell me about it. I just quit following everything. I can't do that. I would rather just be connected with God. And, you know, Enoch walked with God. I love that. And he was not. One day God just said, hey, Enoch, it's closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come on home with me? Moses spoke with God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Let's change our position about prayer instead of, well, it's prayer time. Well, it's prayer service. All that's good. I love all that. But how about just get connected and never stop praying? Now, here's the last one. I'm gonna really ring this one. In everything, give thanks. Listen carefully. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ah. All these things have been talking about how to stay in the will of God. That you honor your leaders, that you appreciate and encourage your brethren, that you forgive your neighbors and lost people, that you let the joy of the Lord rise up in you, that you pray all the time, in the car, in the shower. You're praying in the Spirit. And then this last one is so big. And here's the exact words. Be thankful in all circumstances. You know, we're some of the most complaining, murmuring, griping, and complaining bunch that's ever existed. We have everything we could possibly dream of, but we're not happy. Israel left Egypt with a path, with a cloud, with a beautiful fire at night. They all had their tent. Their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't need stores. They had water coming out of a rock. They had manna falling. And God gave them manna, but they were unhappy because it wasn't manicotti. Come on now. I mean, we can find a reason about everything with our car. Oh, if I only had that car. What's wrong with your current car? Your current job, your current home, your current spouse. I don't need a new model. I like the one I married. I'm happy. I love Melanie. Thank you for that golf clap over there. That was awesome. I'm just telling you, we need to settle down, quit the consumerism. You got so much in your home, you can't even wade through it. You look like a hoarder in your house. And then you go out and garage sale it all and go buy a whole bunch more. I can save you about $10,000. You get a $10,000 raise with the next sentence. Quit going to the store. Quit clicking on Amazon for everything your little beady eyes look at. Come on, say amen. I'm out of time, but did you hear the story of the guy that went to the monastery and he could only say two words every 5 years? You know, silent monastery. So they bring him in his first 5 years. They said, now you can only say two words. What are the two words you want to say? He said, bad food. 5 years go by, they bring him in again. They say, okay, what's your two words now? He said, hard bed. Okay, so he leaves again. 5 more years go by. He came in. What's your 2 words? He said, I quit. And the Monsignor said, I think that's a good idea. You hadn't done anything but complain since you got here. Stop complaining, Israel. You come out of Egypt. You got everything you want. You're on your way to a promised land. But they griped about the water, and they griped about the weather, and they griped about the food and about the leadership. They griped that it was too far. They griped and grumbled. It was too cold. It was too hot. It was too difficult. It was too miserable. And finally, God just said, I've had it. Trip canceled. They missed the perfect will of God because of their attitude. And I've just decided, I know the path. I know God's called me to be a pastor. I've been in the ministry. I know he gave me Melanie. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I am not going to let my attitude toward leadership, toward other members of the church, toward neighbors or friends or even enemies, or the loss of joy in my life, or the lack of prayer in my life, or the lack of giving thanks, blow me off course, and I just kind of drift off into the sunset. Now I'm going to ask you that question again. How many of you want to be in the perfect will of God? Raise up your hand if that's you. Okay. Why don't you bow your heads with me right now? 3 types of people in this room. Which one are you? The first one is some that are, they don't know the path. They're outside of the path. And they're outside of the protocol. They're lost. They know that. They know that they just really got up and came to church today just really hungry for something else, something better in their life. And I'm just telling you, God has an amazing plan for your life. In case you don't know, and this is your first time here or second, He actually is the one that brought you here so you could hear this message, that he has a perfect plan for your life. He can change that. Second group here is those that are, they're on the path, but they're off the protocol. They've let a relationship problem or something with a leader or something, they've let that make them blow off course. God can change that. He can give you a new course to center. And then there's a group here, their own path and their own protocol. I want to be one of those. Now, if you're here and you're in the first group, and you say, I've got sin in my heart. I need forgiveness. I want Jesus to change me. And if I died tonight in my sleep, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. And that's real. It's very real. But God loves you, and he would say, why don't you surrender to me? Let me pilot the plane. Let me guide you. I'll bring you to the promised land. If that's you and you're here and you would say, include me in that prayer right there. I need forgiveness. I'd love to know if that's you. I'm going to look from my left to my right, actually all the way behind me and all the way around. And I just would like, if that's you and you would like to be included in a simple prayer of forgiveness, without hesitation, I want you to slip up your hand right in your seat and hold it up high. That's right. Just hold it up high. God bless you. There, 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 there. So many people. There's a couple back there, both raising their hand. This back there. God bless you. All across this room. There must be 100 people, 125 people that just said, I'm lost. I'm away from the flight plan. I want to call on the Lord. Let's do something simple, something practical. Why don't everybody in here put your hand right here over your heart? Just maybe your right hand, put it over your heart. That's where the will of God is. That's where the Holy Spirit wants to be, in charge. And I want to pray for you. I want to ask the Lord to touch you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you sent me up here today with a message for people, and even for this church. Because now you are moving them into a new season of ministry here. And all that has been done in the last 12 years are merely foundational. Now comes the multiplication of this church. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to begin to bless businessmen with incredible finances. that can finance the outreach of this church to the women of the needy areas of this state. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving mightily upon people that are even addicted to drugs, people that are on prescription medication because of their emotions. We ask you, Lord, to draw a new line to center in their life, straight for the cross of Jesus. If you're unsaved, look at the cross. That's the center. That's dead ahead. And ask the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you. We're going to take the Lord's Supper in a moment. And that's center. That's you coming to the cross. And today, Father God, let your will be done. Let your perfect will be done. Show them your will. And change them to get in it and stay in it for long term, for life. Let their family change today. Let their ministry change. Let their job change. Let everything about their life change. And Father, we thank you for it. Would you just lift both of your hands and just thank God? Now surrender to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I give you my life. The days I have left on this earth, I give you my days. I give you my family. I give you my business. I give you my finances. I give you everything, Lord. Let me find your perfect will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, come on, let's put our hands together and praise God for that. Thank you. God bless you. I love you guys.